There's several pages here, beginning on page 88 of Prior to Consciousness. This is the groundwork. This is what we're all about, except for the grace. He doesn't talk about the grace here. He talks about it in other books, but not in this one. He says, a murderer is loose. He has committed many murders, and the international police are after him, but are unable to catch him. That is like the traditional scriptures not being able to locate or find the absolute. It is beyond the grasp of the Vedas, the Puranas, etc., because it is not conceptual. The absolute is not conceptual. What you really are is not conceptual, cannot be grasped with the mind. This murderer is very proud to escape all the efforts of the police force. He is fearless that he sits where the plans to catch him are discussed, and hence he cannot be caught. He's right here. He's you. No matter what you think, he's going to escape you because the mind can't grasp him, and he's listening. He's there where the plans are being made to capture him. Everyone has to die, so die as your true nature. Why die as a body? Never forget your true nature. It may not be acceptable to many, but it is a fact. If you must have an ambition, have the highest, so that at least while dying you will be the absolute. Decide that now firmly and with certainty and conviction. A tiger is coming at you. You know that when he attacks you, death is certain. So why die like a coward? Attack him and maybe he'll run away. But if the tiger is passing by, do not unnecessarily attack him. Only when absolutely necessary, jump on him. That's good advice. If you go to a zoo, don't attack the tiger behind the bar. God is great and Maya is vast. But what are you in the end? The mental modifications take you away from the self. Nobody wants to inquire about the self deeply and thoroughly. Everybody inquires on a superficial level. These are the people that dig shallow holes. They go from one discipline and one guru and one teaching to another. They really don't care about the self. They care about teachings, directions, ideas, knowledge, something to wrap themselves around. A book, discuss all the meanings and so forth. But it's so easy. You just look into yourself. And yet so difficult because it's not that exciting. The questioner says, my mind does not stay quiet. It goes here and there. And Maharaj says, with all these ramblings, you will be entertained, but you will not obtain knowledge. This is all spiritual entertainment because of the factual state of affairs is what you are, let me see, this is all spiritual entertainment because the factual state of affairs is what you are. You are without modification. In other words, if you're talking about anything but what you are, your true nature, it's entertainment. And that's what most people perceive. They talk about this. This is not on a psychological level. Psychological level, you talk about all kinds of things, repressions and denials and dream interpretations and working on the vasanas and okay, come on, Lakshmi. Jump. Don't get caught. Oh, she got caught again. Here, come. Oh, there you go. She's a critic now. She'll be back. Mind and all concepts are due to your primary concept, I am. Your parents and you are simultaneous concepts. Now, without trying to experience, what experience are you having? In other words, if you're deliberately trying to experience something like samadhi, that's what you're trying to do. But without trying to experience, what is your experience? And the questioner says, I am. Is this not a concept? There are concepts formed from concepts. It is a vast field of concepts. In other words, our life is a vast field of concepts, a network of thought that interpenetrates. One thought links to another. It's an infinite progression of ideas swirling around in our heads, ideas, ideas, thoughts, shoulds, oughtos, morality, concepts, concepts. I would like to be free of concepts, Maharaj. This is to be realized by oneself. It is not to be passed on by word of mouth. In other words, I'd like to be free from concepts. And he says, this has to be realized by you. I can't give you this freedom. You have to win this freedom from concepts. This is something you have to do by discovering your true nature. I can give you more concepts, but I can't give you that freedom. That's for you to do. Who is obtaining this self-knowledge directly? When did I happen to be? I must know about it myself, firsthand, and not from others. You are. You know you are. This is the great Lord, the sudden explosive effulgence. Surrender to it, and you will know all. It is without form or name. It is to be abided in by firm conviction. And this is where Nisargadatta is different from some of the other Advaita teachers, because he says one of the keys, not only to dwell in the I am, but to have the conviction that you are not the body, that you're consciousness itself. That's the first step. You're first at the I am. But you have the conviction you are not the body, that you are the absolute, you're even beyond consciousness. And with that conviction, you have one experience after another that tends to reinforce that conviction until ultimately you have freedom, you have an awakening experience. And this is his way. There's a heavy emphasis on concepts to end concepts, and at the same time a direct pointing to yourself. Questioner, is there something which I can do to help myself grow, to progress? Maharaj, consciousness does not undergo any progress. Even the space cannot have any progress, and the space is number three. One is the absolute. Two is consciousness. Three is space. Where there was no knowledge, I am. That is number one, the absolute. Later on, there is the sense I am, and that is number two. Then there is space, number three. Passing the examination of the Upanishads, does it give you knowledge of the self? In other words, he's talking about your experience. Where there's no knowledge, that's the absolute. Number two is consciousness, or the sense of presence. I am. And number three is the emptiness, the space that contains all of the manifestation. Now he says, does passing the examination of the Upanishads, those are the end of the Vedas, the last books of the Vedas, does this give you knowledge of the self? And the questioner says, no, it doesn't. However, it does give me something. He's holding on to the idea that the Upanishads somehow give you something. The Vedas, the learning, the book learning, the concepts the teachers give you, they mean something. They give you something. It does something. In Maharaj, he says, in my case, everything is spontaneous. That is my dharma. If the knowledgeable people come and tell me I am foolish, I will say, this foolishness is my richness, my freedom. That knowingness which has come over me, that itself is foolishness. You are a very gentle woman. If someone comes and abuses you, thinking you are a man, you will get very angry at this misunderstanding. To identify with anything, such as I am like this or that, is an abuse of your nature. So he's pointing once again, don't identify with the body. Don't identify with anything. Your true nature has nothing to do with any manifestation. Questioner, how do I lose identification with the body? This is very important. Listen to this carefully. Increase the conviction that you are the formless consciousness. You develop your firm conviction that you are the total manifestation, universal consciousness. There is nobody who can have the knowledge of the truth, the eternal. It is one's eternal true state, but it is not a knowledgeable state. You cannot know it. The so-called knowledge is boundless and plenty in the state of, well, let me see. So-called knowledge is boundless and plenty in the state of attributes I am. I have no idea what that sentence means. So-called knowledge is boundless and plenty in the state of attributes I am. I have no idea what that last sentence means, but increase the conviction that you are the formless consciousness. You develop your firm conviction that you are the total manifestation, the universal consciousness which manifests through worms and flies and cats and dogs and other people. Don't identify with your particular body. Identify with consciousness itself as a first step. There is nobody who can have the knowledge of the truth, the eternal. That is your true state. You can't have knowledge of it. That's you. But it is not a knowledgeable state. You cannot know it. And now the last part. It seems that I am more and more busy, that I don't have much time anymore for meditation. Isn't that most of us? I want instruction from Maharaj on how to come to self-realization, but he doesn't want to meditate. Maharaj says, carry on your work in the world, but your work can only take place if you are there. The sense of being must be there. That is enough. Is it necessary for me to constantly remind myself of that, to be aware of that? Maharaj says, who can be conscious of consciousness other than consciousness itself? Is there any other entity? It is there. The consciousness is always aware of itself. It is there. The consciousness is always aware of itself. The trouble is that the consciousness has identified with the body. Do nothing else except this. Do not identify the consciousness with as a body. Again, that sentence is garbled. Do nothing except this. Do not identify the consciousness with the body or as a body. In other words, you can't be aware of awareness because you're always aware of awareness. That's the nature of consciousness, is to be self-aware. But remember what your true identification is, not with the body, but with awareness itself or consciousness itself. By doing something or not doing something, is there any change in this consciousness? There is no need to do any sadhana except be aware of the fact that it is only this consciousness that everything takes place. Relatively, you are the consciousness, and the consciousness has no form. You can only sense consciousness. You cannot see it. You can see things. You can see the manifestation. But you can't see consciousness itself. You know it. You know that you are. That knowing is a different kind of knowing. It's an intuition, an apprehension. But it's not grasped by the vision or by the mind. It's your beingness. Who directs the body to do what it does? It can only be the consciousness. There is no entity. Consciousness does whatever is to be done through the various bodies. You are that consciousness, and the love of that consciousness that it has for itself. You are that consciousness and the love that consciousness has for itself. And here's the most important. Then there is really nothing in particular that you can do to realize this, and you can't try to do. Let me see. Then there is really nothing in particular that you can do to realize this, and you can't try to do nothing. It just is. That's the way. It is, and that's all. Maharaj responds, yes, just understand. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Should one have faith in the self? The questioner asks. Once you are the self, where is the question of faith? Just be yourself. Operation is brought to a standstill. When you are that, it is finished. The circle is closed. You are yourself.